You're listening to the Back Home Network, presented by Homefield Apparel.
Welcome, Hoosier fans, to another very disappointing episode of the Assembly Call. Today, your Indiana Hoosiers barely showed up and lost to Iowa 90-68 at home, erasing a lot of good vibes from Saturday's big win at Purdue. The loss leaves Indiana at 20-10 on the season and 11-8 in the Big Ten, which will come down to tiebreakers for seeds 1-7, 1-8. And I don't think any of us on the show really fully understand what the tiebreakers will be, but we'll see coming up. I'm your host, the coach, Brian Tonsoni. I'm here with Tony Adragna and Ryan Phillips, and we'll break it all down for you on this edition of the Assembly Call IU postgame show. And let's start the show the way we start every show, and that's with our banner moment. Man, it's tough, fellow Hoosier fans, to come up with a particular moment to focus on. I think the moment that, I guess if we're going to be positive, was at least the time when Indiana only got down 3-2 at the first 2 minutes of the second half, and they got a steal by Trace Jackson-Davis and a basket. They got another steal and knocked the ball out of bounds off an Iowa player, and you thought, okay, it's down to 9 or 10 at that point. I think it was 9 because it was 11 at half. And you thought, okay, Indiana got a lesson at halftime, was going to come out, and then just proceeded to fumble the ball away on offense, lose people on defense, and wasn't able to take advantage of that spark for 2 or 3 minutes, as I think Murray hits a three or someone from Iowa was left open without a closeout, hand up, and hit a three. So That's probably the banner moment. The stretch out the banner moment, this is a game we'll talk about, and then we'll flush it, and you move on to Michigan and senior night, and I think the players will have coach's attention, and coach will have the players' attention after a performance like this. There's two types of things that teams have to overcome. One is adversity from game to game and adversity inside the game, and this team had shown in the past to overcome some of that. But what they didn't overcome today was winning and success. And sometimes how you handle success is just as important as how you handle failure and adversity. And tonight, the Indiana Hoosiers were an absolute failure in handling the success on Saturday. Offense was bad. Defense was bad. Coaching was bad. And it was an embarrassing 90-68 loss to a team that doesn't play well on the road, that had to have a miracle comeback against Michigan State at home. That is way below Indiana in the seeds in the NCAA, and just a complete no-show from your Indiana Hoosiers tonight. And it's just disappointing, but it is one game, and Indiana's body of work has it in position to get to the NCAA tournament. I'm going to try to focus on that after I go to bed tonight and let it go, because there's really not much you can do with a performance like that. So our banner moment today, as always, is brought to you by our friends at Homefield Apparel, now in their sixth season of sponsoring the Assembly Call and their second as presenting sponsor for the Back Home Network. And you surely know by now, Homefield has the largest collection of vintage IU apparel that you'll find anywhere, with beloved logos like two different versions of the Bison. And if you support other college teams or have people in your life who do, Homefield probably has something for them too. Their product line now extends to more than 120 different schools with unique vintage logos for all of them. Recently bought a quarter zip, great product. Check out the variety of quarter zips coming in your favorite team or just any college team. They're very comfortable. And no matter what you buy, you know it'll be comfortable and the colors will last through many washings. And you're supporting an Indiana-based company that came up through Kelly. What could be better than that? So go to homefieldapparel.com and use our promo code HOME for 15% off your entire first order. That's promo code HOME for 15% off. Once again, the website is homefieldapparel.com. Okay, it's now time to move the ball, find the open man, and get some opening thoughts from the rest of our team. Ryan, the floor is yours.
Yeah, let's just straight up say it. That was absolutely pathetic. and what Indiana did is Indiana came out incredibly flat, like their win against Purdue actually meant something and they had won a championship or something, came out completely flat, allowed Iowa to get comfortable offensively. I mean, it was 8-0 before you could blink, and Indiana took some bad shots on offense and defensively just had nothing for Chris Murray or against the drives or against the back cuts or against anything. They looked ill-prepared. They looked like they didn't have a plan on either end of the court that was coherent. And then Iowa, just to credit them, just got on a roll and kept going. And this is one of the worst road teams in the Big Ten. And they walked into Assembly Hall and dropped 90 points on Indiana, a team that's supposed to be defense first. And in four games against Iowa so far as Indiana's head coach, it is clear Mike Woodson has no idea how to stop that offense, has no game plan for stopping it. And what it was tonight was just Iowa working harder than Indiana. They played harder than Indiana. As much as Indiana out-toughed Purdue on Saturday, the flip was true tonight. There was a lack of effort, there was a lack of commitment, and there was a lack of just desire to win that game. And Iowa came out like a team fighting for a spot. And Indiana came out like a team who felt really comfortable, and they're good. They had a double bye on the table, potential jumping up to a 3 seed, 13 Big Ten wins, and they just didn't seem interested in it at all. We can have this with a win tonight. Who cares? And I'm sorry, but that's not good enough when you wear that jersey. It's just not. I'm not going to sit here and yell and scream or whatever. It's sad that you would come out for that home crowd after beating Purdue and sweeping Purdue and put on that performance. Like, that's on you, and it's a failure at every level. It's the coaching staff. It's the players. It's everybody. Because the coaching staff also, by the way, when things aren't going well, change stuff. Run a zone. I don't care. You can't guard Chris Murray. Do something. Run two players at him. You know, trap him. Trap him earlier than you did. On offense, you're down 21 points, and you're not running a single thing to get three-point shooters open. You have two guys who shoot nearly 50% from three. They did not run a single play to get either guy a look when they needed a big comeback. And Indiana finished shooting like 5 threes in the second half. When you're down 25 points, you shoot 5 threes when you're trying to come back. And three of those were in the last 2 minutes when they were just forcing stuff up. One of them was Nathan Childress firing it up. It's pathetic. It's absolutely pathetic. There is no coherent game plan. And now you're staring. I mean, after tonight, we really confident that what if Michigan comes out and plays a good game? Are you really confident Indiana's going to take them down on Sunday? That happens. You get 11 Big Ten wins in a year you were supposed to win the conference. That's a failure. And so one game changes a lot. And it's not just the loss, it's the performance. And it was horrible tonight, as bad as it's been all season.
Coach Adranya, your thoughts on 90-68 thrashing of our Indiana Hoosiers?
Yeah, I obviously poor performance. Not fun to watch. I actually headed upstairs at the under four timeout and just casually watched the last 4 minutes once it was pretty much all said and done. But to me, I do, again, it's bad game, terrible. You don't want to see it. But I do try to keep some perspective a little bit too. When, and I know it's not the popular opinion tonight, and I'm perfectly fine owning that. This is the first time Indiana's had 20 wins in the regular season since 2015-16 season. They're coming off of a big win. I guess it depends on what your expectations are of this team. Don't get me wrong, it's disappointing. And as a coach, I'm going to the locker room and telling my team I'm disappointed, and it's a failure on every level. That's all you can own. When you get ran out of the gym like that, you own that. I didn't prepare you well enough, you guys didn't play well enough, and we're gonna get back at it tomorrow or whatever whenever their next non-off day is. Sometimes too, you got to give a little bit of credit to the opponent. Iowa came in and they executed to a T and shot the crap out of the ball. I think 13 to 23 for 56% from deep. They outscored Indiana by 33 points from the three-point line. You're not going to win many games when that's the case. And, I'm just trying to keep some perspective in that, yes, Indiana had great opportunities in front of them. They still do. And I think that's important too. Like, you know, the season's not lost because you got ran at home by Iowa. Is it great? No, absolutely not. But is it the end of the world? No, it's not as well. And you also have to remind your guys that as the coach, you know, hey, this isn't the end of the world. We put up a stinker tonight and it's unacceptable. And you know, all of those different things, but that doesn't mean that this is who Indiana is, because I truly don't think that is. And so I think you have to, you're playing that balance there. Because yeah, at the end of the day, you know, the coaches are going to coach's office and going, what the hell was that? Like, you know, they're scratching their heads too, you know, and they're going to be diving into that film probably right now, like, you know, right after the game, of what went wrong and why. But at the end of the day, you know, terrible loss, you know, and you own it from a program perspective.
Let me jump in here one thing, Tony. I agree. You're saying, like, you know, they won 20 games this year. They swept Purdue. Okay. I'm with you on that. That's an advancement. The problem is when you look at the fact that they have a National Player of the Year candidate, they have a lottery pick at point guard, they have guys who can shoot, they had, you know, and I know they have enough senior leadership, they have veterans, all of that. I think it's fair from Indiana fans to expect more than just 20 wins and finishing between fourth and seventh in the Big Ten. I mean, it could be as low as eighth, quite frankly, with the tiebreakers. I mean, there's a chance they finish eighth in the Big Ten in a year. They were supposed to come in and be this thing because of everything that come. Yeah, I know they've had injuries. I know that some guys haven't developed as thought, and understandable. That's going to drag you down a little bit. But just saying, like, well, they won 20. Like, I'm not there with that. This team was supposed to be different. And the other thing is, a lot of these guys are gone next year, and there's not better players replacing them. This was kind of the year Indiana had to do something. And this was,
but they still can. That's my point.
They can. You're right. They can. But the problem is that when things go badly, the exact same problems prop up. And I'm shocked that nobody has done what Iowa did tonight, which was replicate in some ways what Northwestern was trying to do against Indiana, spread them out, back cut, drive, all of that stuff. You haven't really seen that as much. And Iowa, this is just what Iowa does. And yes, if Iowa gets hot, they can beat anybody in the Big Ten. We all know that. The problem is stopping them from getting hot. And the reason they didn't is because for the first 18 minutes of the game, Indiana had no intensity defensively. And you had guys slump shoulders, looking around, not talking, not doing anything. And yeah, Iowa took advantage. Kudos to them. They absolutely played a near flawless game offensively. But it was because Indiana didn't do what it's supposed to. And I get what you're saying. I fully do. And I'm not, you know, discounting what you're saying, but you know, a mid-tier finish in the Big Ten is not okay with this roster. I'm just not okay with it.
So that's the most important storyline, I think, tonight, is where you two guys are talking about what Indiana team should we expect Sunday and what Indiana team should we expect. Indiana's 4-3 in their last seven games. Not bad. They had a huge win and showed what they can do. What Saturday against Purdue is what they can do. There is no doubt they can do that. But you go back even to in some of those wins, it's been a half a basketball, and then they hold on against Rutgers, down big against Michigan and come back and get a one-point lead, down 20 to Northwestern and come back and lose. Then, you know, you're down against Illinois and you come back and win. Then you go to Michigan State, you get beat by 15. Then you have the one game where you've played absolutely beautiful basketball and have a huge win. And then you come out tonight and get beat by 22. So the question in my mind is, where's the consistency in this basketball team? Because the potential is what Tony's saying, and the reality is what Ryan's saying. And we see flashes of it, either half of a game here, half of a game there, or a full game at Purdue, or nothing today. What team are we going to have going forward? I'll throw that back to you, Tony, because I understand what you're saying, and I agree that this team, the program, is really headed in a better direction under Coach Woodson. But this tonight was not how you respond to a win, and it just brings back a lot of those questions about, is this team the Purdue version, or is it the Iowa version? Because we've seen a lot of it in between in the last seven or eight games.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's valid. You know, I don't want to, you know, make it seem like I'm on a soapbox and I'm some fan that only supports the program, you know, as positive, you know, Patty or whatever, because that's not who I am or what I think. You know, I just – my expectations of IU are to play as a 4 or 5 seed. And right now in college basketball, all of the 4 and 5 seeds are losing games they shouldn't. They're, you know, you have these weird stinkers, like Creighton gets blown out by, I think, Providence last week or something along those lines. You know, it's – Indiana is not an elite-level team. Like, could they make a run? Yes, they've got some pieces in terms of TJD, Jalen Huchefino, and they've got some – but, like, to me, they're just not an elite team. You know, they're in that 4 or 5 seed line, which this is what those teams do. Like, you have a great game, you beat number 5 on the road, and then you go out and you lay an egg against Iowa. You know, that's kind of like where college basketball is at right now in that
totally.
Seed line.
Hey, Tony, if they lost by 10 and shown some fight, you know, at times, I you know, had it ended like it did at the beginning of the first half where they got it to like 11, or at the end of the first half where they got to 11, and that had been the end, and they had kind of fought back and you saw some intensity, that I would, you know, I wouldn't have been okay with that, but I would have been like, all right, you know, I mean, some nights you just lay an egg. It was a short turnaround after an emotional win. But it was just throughout the game, it was the way it happened. And, you know, Iowa shot the lights out, but I also felt like they were getting a lot of wide open shots. And it's a team who can shoot. You know, it's a team who can shoot. Why aren't you overplaying the 3-point line? Why aren't you forcing Chris Murray to either shoot, like to forcing him into the mid range, overplay the 3, and then have somebody else help him to recover so he doesn't get to the rim, when that's all they were allowing to do? He was either shooting a 3 or he's getting to the rim. There was no in between. And my problem is just a complete failure from top to bottom in the game. The season hasn't been a failure. I don't want that to be the narrative. But in the game, it's a complete failure. It's not like it was, well, you know, if a couple things go our way, you know, we don't lose to a bad road team. You know, this was top to bottom awful. And that's what worries me, is that even if they played average tonight against that Iowa team, they probably don't win the way Iowa was playing. What are they going to do moving forward?
Yeah. For me, this is on the players. I think Coach Woodson had a handle on it right after the Purdue game, when he said, enjoy this for the bus ride home and then get back to work. And then according to the, you know, television at shoot around, he was talking about, guys, you got to come ready to play. And I think there's things that Coach Woodson could have done better in this game? Absolutely. But there's not much you can do when you have a scouting report that says Murray's a 3-point shooter and your guy's 3 feet off with his hands down on his side and not even getting a hand up on him early in the game and letting Murray get tight, getting back cut with no intensity from Jalen Huchefino defensively, Miller Kopp not being able to stop the dribble, Jalen wasn't able to stop the dribble. There was just no – that the guys were basking – mentally, and maybe not on purpose, but they got a lot of pats on the back. They had a guy, you know, yelling Shafino on the front porch, and they hear all that stuff. I don't know, some crazy dude, but boy, they sure didn't handle. They didn't handle that, and that's the disappointing thing in this one particular game. You got veterans, and I think Trace Jackson Davis was the one who played tonight.
Played hard,
blocks and rebounds, and defensively. But it wasn't contagious. I think I tweeted that from the Assembly Call account. It wasn't contagious tonight. Everyone was just resting back on their laurels. They just didn't have it. Hummel was there's no juice in the team. And none. If you play with no juice against anyone in the Big Ten in the tournament or regular season or in the NCAA tournament, you have to bring your juice. They had it Saturday. And that's why the question for me, absolutely, the main storyline tonight is, which team – are we going to see, and can we see the team we want to see consistently? Because if anything's proven this year, the team is better than it was last year, the program's better, but it's not a consistently good team, and I think that's what Tony said, and that's the frustrating part, because I think it should be more consistent, and this game just brought back, opened up those wounds. You know, Michigan State game was just a week ago, and that was kind of ugly. And they summoned it up. So I believe they'll turn it around Sunday and have a great performance. Yeah. But that doesn't get it done in the Big Ten tournament or the NCAA tournament. One good performance, one bad performance, and they're running out of time to get that fixed, in my opinion.
Yeah, I would say I expect them to come out, because they lost, they'll come out on fire on Sunday.
Exactly.
The thing about this team that's disappointing, though, is Saturday, even without Trace having a really good game, they showed that they can compete with anybody. And I know Purdue is particularly in some ways a really good matchup. Obviously, there's no matchup for Edie, but they're a pretty good matchup for Indiana. But Indiana can play with the top five team in the country. They can beat the number one team in the country when Purdue is number one. They can do that. And they know they can do that, yet they don't summon that energy or effort or ability all the time. And the Michigan State game, I threw out the window because of everything that was going on surrounding that. You know, that's a tough situation to play in for anybody forgiven for losing that game. It didn't finish great. They didn't play great down the stretch, but, you know, that was a special situation. This one is concerning. I think this is the worst they've played since Canton.
If this happened on the road, you don't like it, but you could maybe understand it. But at home, after a big win in front of a crowd that was ready to just to go crazy in support of the team, I think we can just sum it up.
That's what's concerning. It's losing by, I mean, that was basically a 30-point game. I mean, let's be real. Iowa kind of, they just stopped pushing once they got to 25. And that's what's concerning about it. Absolutely.
Tony, your expectations for Sunday. This team has shown the ability to bounce back game to game, half to half, from poor performances. What do you expect Saturday or Sunday?
Yeah, I've always kind of hated the Michigan matchup with this Indiana team. I always feel like it's a bad matchup for Indiana. So, you know, I expect a dogfight. You know, Michigan's going to be fighting for their life, similar to how Indiana was last year when IU played them. So, you know, I expect a more rejuvenated team, in terms of, and that's not like a fatigue thing, just from an energy perspective. You know, cause I want to make no mistake about it. Tonight was bad energy wise, shooting wise, just, you know, it kind of is where Indiana's been at is you ride that Trace Jackson Davis train, but he needs at least one co-star to go along with him pretty much. And tonight, Jalen was bad. You know, Tamar Bates is, you know, that's five or six games in a row that I don't even think he has hit a field goal. You know, Indiana's guard play, when they're bad, it's usually because the guards are bad. Yeah. And then, you know, probably getting XJ back Sunday, it looks like. You know, he was in uniform tonight, and all indications seem to be that he's really close. And, you know, what is he going to be? We don't know, but at this point, I could think he could at least fill that Tamar Bates role, perhaps, and, you know, bring some juice off the bench. He's a guy that you know is going to play with energy, regardless of how he's feeling physically.
On both ends, too.
Yep, absolutely. So, you know, I'm optimistic about Sunday. I was trying to do some data dives before I got on here, but I wasn't able to. It's so hard to project, you know, because last year, Indiana – to end the season, you know, they went on that run there in the Big Ten tournament, and I was like, man, they could beat anybody right now, and then they lose by 30 to St. Mary's, and so it's so hard to like figure out where a team's at. And then today, you're like, you got Iowa at home, they're bad on the road, you're coming off a big win, and you know, you lay a stinker, and sometimes
that didn't show up.
Yeah, absolutely. And sometimes at this point in the season, I know you're like, you want to play your best ball right now, and I absolutely believe that, but if you can get this game out of the way and you've got the guy's attention now and you can kind of roll back on this, like you remember that Iowa game, you can get ran out of this gym by anybody. Cause Mike Woodson's somebody that preaches that anybody can beat you on any given night if you don't show up to play. And they just showed that because, you know, Iowa is a mid-tier team and just ran you off the floor because they came ready to play. They knocked down shots and you did not. And so sometimes that can get their attention. You know, it's, you're dealing with 18 to 22-year-olds or 23-year-olds. So
it better get
exactly.
Attention,
yeah, you would hope. Right? You would certainly hope. And so, yeah, it's. I'm still excited about, you know, these next couple of weeks and what Indiana can do. Obviously, tonight it brings you down a little bit. You know, I was so excited and happy on Saturday night and Sunday. You know, I was able to rub it in some Purdue fans' faces, and then. You know, you get brought back down to earth really quickly. You know, you're reading the press club as Indiana Final Four sleeper, you know, those types of things. And then you watch tonight and you're like, absolutely not. And so that's, again, I think you look at like the whole college basketball landscape this year, especially there's no just absolutely dominating force. You know, the top four seeds, like with the Alabamas and stuff are really good, but that's what gets me excited for Indiana is that they've got some talent and there's nobody that's just like, I don't think they can beat them this year. And again, you got to show up though, and you got to play. Yep. And you know, the guard play stuff is concerning for sure. But, you know, as you said, you flush tonight and you move on as quickly as you can.
All righty, coming up as we continue our breakdown of Indiana's loss to Iowa, we'll point out some meaningful moments you might have missed, go inside some numbers to highlight the most important statistical notes from the game. Remember, you're listening to The Assembly Call, so stick with us.
The spirit of performance is what defines Acura, and now it's electric. Introducing the ZDX, Acura's most powerful SUV yet. Crafted using the same formula that brought them electrified supercars and multiple IMSA championships, the ZDX has track-tested performance that packs an energy all its own. Unlock the energy and order yours at Acura.com.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
This is Verdell Jones. What's better than an epic buzzer beater? The full court dribble and perfectly placed pass to set it all up. And, of course, celebrating with Hoosier Nation afterwards. So join Jared, Andy, Ryan, and Coach on the Assembly Call after every IU basketball game. Go Hoosiers.
You're listening to the Assembly Call IU post-game show. I'm Coach Brian Tonsoni here with Ryan Phillips and Coach Adranya, and we're breaking down Indiana's loss to Iowa.
Looping music again, Coach?
And looping music in the section, too. But that's just the way the night's gone, right? Extra stuff. But it's now time for our meaningful moment that you might have missed, brought to you by our friends at Hoosier Ticket Project, where they help individuals and families experience Indiana University athletic events in person for the first time through the generosity of alumni and fans. To learn more about how you can donate money or extra tickets to help create meaningful moments for other IU fans, visit HoosierTicketProject.org. That's HoosierTicketProject.org. Meaningful moments that you might have missed. So I'm just going to take this in this realm, I guess, zone. I think the zone defense played a little tandem 2-3 zone. Really gave Indiana some fits. I don't know that it was the reason that Indiana didn't play well, but going forward, there have been times when Indiana's zone offense has been pretty good, but this particular version that Fran McCaffrey ran out, not known for his defensive genius, I think really stymied Indiana tonight. Adranya, your thoughts today about how Indiana may have attacked that zone. And what can they do going forward?
Yeah, like you said, it just kind of looked like they didn't have a comfortability with it. And, you know, Indiana's zone offense has been pretty good this season. However, that's twice now against Iowa that they've kind of not been very effective against it. I didn't think there was a lot of movement. There wasn't really overloading or anything of that sort to force Iowa to make decisions, and you know, ultimately Indiana's offense didn't look quite as bad as its defense did, but wasn't anything to write home about for sure.
Yeah, I think it was a good adjustment, because I think Coach Woodson made a good adjustment after the first TV timeout when Indiana was down 9. I think it was 16-7. Indiana came out and went to some more movement against Iowa's man. The first possessions were solely the post-up and the ISO stuff that we see, and it wasn't working very well. And then Indiana kind of got back into it a little bit, and then Iowa went to the zone, and I think it really stymied. But there were – this is where I say I think there's some other things that Coach could have done tonight. Anytime you get beat, the coach is going to take some too. But this was more of a player issue today, of not taking the scouting report, not playing with the emotion and the focus. And I think that occurred on both offense. Some shot selection was really poor as well. But that zone seemed to really slow us down after we kind of got back into it at the 12-13 minute mark, at least got it down to four or five early with some good sets coming out of that first time out. I thought that was a key moment in the game. Ryan, you have a meaningful moment.
Yeah, right off the tip, Indiana got the ball, and Jalen Huccifino shot an early three. Right off the tip to start the game, they got an offensive rebound by Miller. Trey Galloway fires an early three, and Iowa but missed them both. Iowa gets the rebound, goes down. Chris Murray, boom, hits a three. Come back down, missed layup by Trace. Iowa comes back down. Chris Murray, again, hits a three. Jalen misses a pull-up, a contested pull-up. So that made it, 6-0? Jalen missed a contested pull-up. Iowa comes back down, gets a layup from Rubraca on the fast break. 8-0 right off the bat. Woodson has to call a timeout at 18-12 of the first half. That was the game. I mean, after that, Indiana was chasing the game. They got it within 11 at one point. I don't know if what the closest they got it after
9 in that second half moment.
For a moment, that steal. And I would just say that sometimes you lose the game in the first 4 minutes. Sometimes you win the game in the first 4 minutes. Sometimes you win it the first 4 minutes of the second half, like whatever. But that stretch from then on, Iowa was so comfortable offensively after that. It never relented. It didn't relent. There was a 2-minute stretch at the end of the first half where Indiana played some intense defense that did not hold true for the rest of the game.
You know, Coach Adranya, it's an awful feeling when you're on the sideline and it just keeps tumbling away and tumbling away, and you don't have enough timeouts. Woodson called 2 timeouts in the first half trying to stem it. And again, that goes to the point where, I don't think this is a coaching issue today overall. I think this was just the players living in all of the pats on the back and maybe assuming that first Iowa game was a little bit of fluke. They got up 20 and seeing where Iowa was compared to them. And sometimes when you have youngsters and you're coaching, and you can tell them all you want, because it sure sounded like Coach Woodson tried to get their attention in the last 2 days. But it obviously didn't work. But yes, that at the 8-minute mark, you're thinking, okay, find it. Indiana has handled adversity before. So I kept expecting all the way through, probably till about the 13-minute mark of the second half, I expected them to find it and find it with their defense and lock in defensively and make that push offensively to get back in the game. And really, the juice was empty, all night long, where they never, ever locked in defensively. And guys, if Indiana can't guard, it doesn't matter what you run on offense, whether it's a zone or whatever. They are a team that is known for getting into people defensively. That's what won the game Saturday at Purdue. So I think you're right. It was a sure telltale sign, that 8-0 start, because it was just – no flow.
Yeah, coming off of an emotional win, maybe it takes you 5 minutes to get into the game. I can see that. It's going to take a second for the adrenaline to come in, whatever. That flow never came for Indiana. I mean, it really didn't. They had that 2-minute stretch at the end of the first half where it was like they woke up, they were in guys. Iowa scored in that sequence, but it was Indiana was clearly playing much. And what Iowa did was they did a great job creating mismatches, got the ball down in the post with Rubraca against a guard or Murray against, whoever, and was able to score. But it wasn't for a lack of intensity. It was just well schemed and a great game plan to do that against you. And sometimes you tip your cap. But the energy was there for that couple of minutes, and that's why you thought going into half, 11 points, maybe this will carry over. And it carried over for about the first, 45 seconds where they got those steals or whatever. But then, you have a breakaway where you throw the ball out of bounds, you take a bad shot, Miller Kopp throws an inbounds pass out of bounds. That's focus, and that's intensity, and that's intention. And when you don't have those things, you're not going to win. You're just not going to win in the Big Ten.
That's where I – go ahead, Tony.
I was just going to say, this is where the film room is a beautiful thing, because as a player, so many times you think you're playing hard. You think you're doing the right things, and then you watch the film and it doesn't lie. And that's where, everybody needs to be tomorrow, and I'm sure they will be, dissecting that film, and you're able to see really quickly, oh, wow, our intensity was down. Oh, wow, I did just get completely lost. Oh, wow, I turned my head there for absolutely no reason and got backdoored 3 straight times. This is where the film room is, especially at this point in the season. You're not going to do cone dribbling drills to get better ball handling, in late February. You're looking at film and you're trying to maximize everything you've got. And, you watch this game, and it could be a long film session for Indiana tomorrow or whenever they watch it. Yeah, exactly.
And I'll tie this up, and we'll get to stats and move on here tonight because you know, it's just one of those games that happened, and you got to flush it a little bit. But that goes back to what we said in the first segment. With the amount of playing time and experience we have on this team, to have this kind of performance late in a year is concerning to me. Yes, we have a bright selection Sunday in front of us with no stress and all of that, but this should have someone, Kopp and Race, and I know X is not out there, but he's on the sideline. TJD have spent a lot of time in college basketball that they should have known that a big win could be a struggle and to fix it somehow. And boy, they didn't have it. So I'm sure it wasn't intentional. They just weren't, you know, giving up or anything. But how does a veteran team not find it at halftime, not find it midway through the first half, not someone take over that huddle? That is, you know, something that has to be figured out. We'll find out. We'll find out on Sunday. But now it's time to go inside the numbers. And, you know, I think the number that sticks out, and it's really going to be obvious, is the points per possession that Indiana gave up, 1.429. It's
insane.
Again, credit Iowa for a great offensive scheme, back cutting, getting those switches, isolating the post player on the guard. Very well done by Fran. I didn't just say that, but
you did.
I know. But that also speaks to the lack of effort and the little things like closing out and switching appropriately and the things that Indiana
rotations missed. Were horrible in the first half. Absolutely.
You're not going to win basketball games giving up 1.429. And at halftime, it was 1.621. 1.621 in a half of basketball. And Tony, you know this too, that defense is heart and mind and effort. You don't need to be extremely skilled to play good defense. You need all five people working together on a string, and that didn't happen. And I think that number just speaks volumes.
Yeah, and you know, that's the thing is when you play against Iowa, you have to be five guys connected. And
right.
The second that one guy is out of the loop or out of position, they expose you. And Indiana
and Jalen was that guy a lot in the first half. I mean,
he was. And you know, Perkins is a guy that's a tough matchup for Indiana. They play guards like that, that are quick and strong. It's a tough matchup for Indiana. And yeah, if Jalen's getting beat off the dribble, you know, five times, everybody's got to now in help situations. We all know how Indiana has a tendency to overhelp, and all of a sudden you've got Chris Murray wide open for three, and he's going to knock it down. Hell, he'll knock it down if he's not wide open tonight. So, yeah, just like you said, Coach, heart, effort, focus is a big one. I just feel like the focus was lacking. And like I said, it's got to be five guys on a string. And if you're not connected against Iowa, you're going to give up 90-some points.
You guys have any stats?
Yeah, Indiana 2 of 11. Indiana 2 of 11 for three-point range, 18.2%. Didn't shoot enough. I'm sorry. First half, 1 of 6. Second half, 1 of 5. It's not enough, especially when in the second half, 3 of those came in the last few minutes.
2 from Banks and 1 from Nathan Childress. So really, yep. 8 3-pointers.
Miller Kopp and Trey Galloway in the second half combined to go 0-for-1 from 3. And there's two guys hitting nearly 50% of their threes. Didn't run anything for him. Didn't make a concerted effort to get them the ball off a screen. Nothing. I mean, we've seen that all year. But you know what? When you're down 20, change your tendencies because whatever you're doing isn't working. And there were a couple times where Trace went down, made a great play, scored, and Iowa just went down and hit a three. And it's like, you just traded 2 for 3. You're not even trying to match what they're doing because Iowa, on the other hand, went 13 of 23 from three and hit 56.5%. Now, if a team hits 56.5%, you can always, someone could look at that and say, well, tip or cap, they made a lot of shots. That's true. But they also were shooting a lot of wide open threes, and it's a good three-point shooting team. Not usually on the road, but, you know, what they hit 17 against Michigan State? I mean, they've clearly been shooting well lately, and you allowed them to get comfortable. You weren't closing out to them, or you were closed out, and then they throw it in, you take your eye off it, it goes right back to a guy, and he's got a wide open look because you're not reacting fast enough. Malik Renu did that. You know, Rabraka got stopped on a post, and Malik stepped down to help when he's holding the ball. He's not dribbling. He's holding the ball. They threw it right back out, and Malik's guy hit a three. I mean, that's just awareness. It's a complete lack of awareness. So you combine those two things. IU's not shooting threes and got outscored by, I think Tony said, what did you say? It was 33 points on the three-point line. And then Indiana's doing nothing to close that gap in the second half when they need to. So that, again, lack of awareness from everybody. It's not just the players. It's also the coaching staff to not have anything in your back pocket to get some threes. At that point where they cut it to 11, hey, maybe there was a point where they got it to about, what, like 18 or 15, and they kind of had some momentum and had the ball, could work the ball around, maybe shoot a three, like something. There's nothing for that, and they took a contested two. So that's what Indiana's offense is. We have to live with it. And that's what the game plan is. You have to live with it. I just think it's an easy fix that you could easily draw something up to get you a three when you need one. And Indiana doesn't have that.
Murray was 5 of 8 from three, and the Sanford guy was 5 for 9. And both those guys in previous games had shot a lot of threes and scored a lot of threes. Like you have to do something.
You knew
something.
Where it was coming from.
And I think, Tony, your film room is going to be good, like hand down, man down, right? Or
yeah, I can't wait to watch that all again.
Oh, you're gonna have so much fun, Tony.
How can you lose Chris Murray in transition at the 3-point line? Like those are things that the players need to figure out again, because there's no scouting report that says, "Hey, run down the middle of the lane, and if Chris Murray's on the 3-point line, just let him stay out there." Or if you're within 3 feet of him, keep your hands down. And don't get closer to him and run
Trey
him off the 3-point
line. Trey did it a couple
line.
Times There's, tonight, too, man.
Yeah, Trey. Like,
Trey knows
how
better.
About, Tony, I want to ask you this. I'm all for help defense and stopping penetrating drives. But why does Indiana – what's the theory behind stopping drives that aren't penetrating? And even when guys have picked up the ball. Today, Trey Galloway did this early. The guard had been stopped at the elbow. And Trey was there in that nail slot rim stuff. And he stayed in there and tried to dig out. Are they trying to get turnovers and go the other way? Because they just gave up a wide open three. And they so commit to staying on that ball longer than most coaches ever would want. What do you think's happening there? I know we all call it over help, but I don't think it's over help. It's just that's what they do. They're in help first. They're in help first. And then they go close out on the pass. But the open threes from Sanford and – when you leave those guys to do that kind of defense, I don't quite get that.
Yeah, that one boggles my mind. To this day, because I mean, if it's trying to force turnovers, we're not very good at it. I think we're in the 300s in terms of being able to force turnovers against our opponents. Yeah, it's weird because it's, you know, some games Indiana is locked in and they're. That over help or, you know, that system that they run doesn't seem to really like bog them down. But then there's nights like tonight or the Penn State game where it's, or even Michigan State, it's like half step slow in your rotation. I mean, it just throws your rotations completely out of whack. And
you're walking a tightrope with it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well,
absolutely.
And everything I've read is it's, you have to be on point to execute that because you're already in help. And you have a longer closeout, so you've got to time it perfectly, and you've got to make the right decision. And the tendency is to stay too long. Everything I read is that the defender has a tendency to stay too long. And so, you know, in theory, it seems to work, but on a night tonight when there's no juice and everything, you're going to give up threes. Ryan, you have a stat you want to share?
I have one positive stat for you. Iowa had 10 turnovers. Indiana had 10 turnovers. Dead even turnover battle, guys. There you go. There's a positive one. And the free throw defense was fantastic. 68% from Iowa tonight.
That's really
all I got.
What's your stat?
What is lost in all of this is Trace Jackson Davis is our all-time leading rebounder now.
He's going there next. Yeah.
And
there's
so
another positive.
There is that. That's a positive. A negative is time of with the lead, 0 minutes, 0 seconds.
Holy not great.
that ain't gonna get it done.
I don't think
nights.
You're gonna win a game that way.
I'm
not an expert, but
we're moving on. So coming up on Assembly Call, we'll hand out our game balls and Hoosier Hustle Award, discuss lingering questions or two, and look ahead to Indiana's upcoming opponent. That's all next here on Assembly Call. Stick with us.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match. With Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Let's face it, people have different sleep needs. While you love your partner, sleeping next to them might not always be the most comfortable. Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, so you can choose what's right for each of you whenever you like. Maybe you prefer a firmer mattress, and your partner needs something softer. Because of the individualized comfort that you get from Sleep Number Smart Beds, you and your partner will sleep better together. All Sleep Number Smart Beds feature cooling, pressure-relieving comfort layers for soothing sleep throughout the night. And their temperature balancing bedding is designed to move heat and moisture away when you're hot. When you're cool, they hold their energy to help warm you. The smart beds even automatically respond and adjust to your movements, so you sleep comfortably all night long. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
This is Jordan Halls, and I never miss a shot or an episode of The Assembly Call.
You're listening to The Assembly Call, IU postgame show. Catch us live immediately following every IU basketball game, plus every Thursday night at our website, assemblycall.com. Also, make sure you sign up for our free IU Hoops email newsletter. Over 9,000 of your fellow IU fans have subscribed. You can join for free today at join.assemblycall.com. That's join.assemblycall.com. I'm Coach Tonsoni here with Coach Adranya and Ryan Phillips, and we're breaking down Indiana's loss this evening at home to the Iowa Hawkeyes. It's now time for our game balls, which are presented by our friends at Bloom Environmental, where Allie and James and the crew help folks in southern and south central Indiana maintain healthy air quality in their home or business. Learn more at bloomenviro.com. And when you mention this ad, you get 23% off all their testing services. That's 23 in honor of TJD. And speaking of game balls and TJD, Ryan, who gets your game ball for tonight's game?
I think it's pretty obvious that it's going to be Trace Jackson Davis. I think he's the only guy who would. And a positive trend for Indiana was against Michigan State. I thought he looked exhausted, flat-footed, did not have that bounce. And I thought the same thing against Purdue for stretches of that game, for long stretches of that game. Tonight he looked back to sort of his normal self. I don't think it was peak Trace, but I think that he was right, you know, back in line with what we expect. And, you know, 26 points, 13 rebounds, 5 assists, and 4 steals and 1 block. He led Indiana in each of those categories. He led him in assists, rebounds, blocks, and steals. And, you know, field goals made, shots taken, free throws made, like all of it across the board. He's the guy that did anything tonight. Only other guy in double figures was Malik Renew. And so who, you know, shockingly only had one foul tonight. Good for Malik. One foul in 18 minutes. Clearly the officials were not paying close attention. So progress. It's Trace again. He deserves it. He deserves all the plaudits and congratulations to him for the rebound record. He's now rebounds and blocks all-time number one in both. And he's fourth in points, I think, now. So yep. Clearly a storied career, and I'm sorry that, you know, one of his last games at Assembly Hall had to be this one, and I don't put the blame on him for it.
Tony, you're a game ball.
Yeah, Ryan pretty much said it all. TJD, I got nothing else to add.
I'm going to go TJD, make it a clean sweep. I thought he had effort tonight. I think you saw that early in the second half with his defensive ability coming out. And there's just so much that Indiana relies on him for performance. And I thought he brought it tonight. I'm not sure the others were as locked in as he was. And it is something that we are going to miss after the season, because it's been an honor to watch him play, especially his growth under Coach Woodson the last couple years. And his performances have won a lot of games for Indiana. And going back to what Tony said earlier, the reason that we will be okay tomorrow is because we have Trace Jackson Davis playing Sunday, and then in a Big Ten tournament, and then in the NCAA tournament. And with him, you always have a chance to win. Tonight it wasn't in the cards, but I think TJD did bring an effort worthy of a game ball. And so now it is time for...
Hi, this is native Hoosier Anthony Leal. I pride myself on hustling every second I'm on the court, so it is an honor to present this episode's Hoosier Hustle Award, sponsored by our friends at Evansville Security Services. Based in the hometown of IU legend Calvert Cheney, Evansville Security Services provides off-duty police officers to businesses and individuals throughout Indiana. Their goal is to provide whatever level of safety and protection you're looking for. And just like hustle can't be measured by stats, but is often the difference between winning and losing, the prevention of bad outcomes can't be adequately measured either, but it can still have a huge impact on your bottom line and peace of mind. So let Evansville Security Services help you prevent a bad outcome today. Go to EvansvilleSecurityServices.com to learn more. That's EvansvilleSecurityServices.com.
Now, this is a tough one on a night like this, but Tony, who you got for Hoosier Hustle?
Yeah, I'm going to go with Caleb Banks. He brought an energy tonight. Like, is he ready to play high-level Big Ten basketball? No, probably not. But the guy brings energy every time he's on the floor, and I thought he did tonight. I'm not a big plus-minus guy. He did have a positive plus-minus in, 14 minutes tonight? Or 9 minutes, excuse me. Or no, 14. I'm contradicting myself. That award for me goes to Caleb Banks. If I could give it to Trace, I'd probably throw him in the mix there too. But I'll go with Banks.
Ryan.
Same answer, Caleb Banks. I thought that when he was on the floor, Indiana was better. I thought the energy was better on both ends. He's still a little wild offensively. When he dribbles or decides to do anything, it's kind of an adventure. But I really think that he it provided a big lift energy-wise, especially on the defensive end. And you saw him recover really well. And given his athleticism and length, recovering to the three-point line is a little bit easier for him and the quickness and all that. So, yeah, I think that's an easy answer for me.
Let's just make it a clean sweep for both awards going to Caleb Banks. And I'm going to add that both Caleb Banks and C.J. Gunn have not necessarily got the playing time that anyone wants, but as freshmen, it's understandable, and I hope that they understand that they have a bright future, I think, here playing for the Indiana Hoosiers. But this coach appreciates that when they come in, they do bring energy. And as Tony said, maybe they're not ready for a major role on this year's team, and a good summer in the weight room and a good summer of individual workouts, and you'll see a lot of improvement between the freshman and sophomore years. But those guys play hard. That's what you want when guys get in for 10 minutes here or 7 minutes there, is when the opportunity presents itself, are you ready to give everything you have, get something on film, and then learn from it. So, Caleb Banks, congratulations. You made the most out of your minutes this evening, and that is your second Hoosier Hustle Award. Ryan?
I had one point before we go off the air and go to final thoughts. Antoine Davis, Mike Davis's son, dropped 38 points tonight as Detroit Mercy beat Purdue Fort Wayne. He is now 25 points from breaking Pete Maravich's all-time scoring record NCAA-wise. They play Thursday against Youngstown State. I think it's 8 Eastern. I would recommend watching that because that's a record most people thought would never fall. I know he's doing it in multiple years more than Pete Maravich, but still it's
with the
falling.
3-point line, but it's still
with the 3-point, all of that stuff. Nobody's touching Pete, but still it's a massive record that may fall. And if you were around Indiana's basketball program when Mike Davis is there, Antoine was there all the time. I remember covering games where Mike would coach and then walking out and he'd be standing there at the free throw line and could barely get the ball above the rim at that point because he was so little. And now he's about to break down NCAA's all-time scoring record. It's a nice story. I would recommend you watching that on Thursday.
Very, very well said. So now it's time for a lingering question. And I think that we've asked a lingering question all night long about is this a one-off situation due to the big emotional win, or is it more, an indication that this team has not found that magic to be consistent and put a run together coming up for the tournament, and you got a few days to figure that out. So we'll probably leave that. We've addressed the disappointment tonight, and we hope that we can just all of us, the team, the coaches, and the fans, can flush it. And we got some things upcoming here on the Assembly Call. Jared has an interview coming up with Sam Vecenie on Thursday morning. We have Thursday night AC radio. The women play their first Big Ten game on Friday. I don't have the time on here. Does anyone know what time
they I don't play have it
on
hand.
Friday?
I don't have it either.
I think the number one seed, if it follows the men's tournament, that would be a noon, but I don't know if the women follow the same time schedule as the men. There could be a banner Friday for our paid community. I'm in a process of finding some time. My son's sectional game is Friday night, so it might be a quick banner Friday. And then Sunday, it's senior day. Remember, the show will be on, but it'll be after all the senior speeches, so it'll be delayed post-game show until after all senior activities are completed in Assembly Hall on Sunday. So you're listening to the Assembly Call IU postgame show. Remember to check out our friends at Home Field Apparel. Use that promo code HOME at checkout to get 15% off your first order. Okay, guys, it's time for last call, and we'll send it to you, Tony, first.
Yeah, I think last time Indiana got kind of ran out of the gym this way was the Penn State game. They won 8 out of 9 after that, so here's to that performance yet again. And that's what I'm leaving you with.
Ryan.
Yeah, it's a disappointing night, and it's not, it doesn't take away from what this team has done this year and what some of the individual players have done this year, but this is disappointing coming off that Purdue win. You had a chance to really put a stranglehold on potentially getting second place in the Big Ten, and to just fall flat like this against a team that is extremely beatable. This is not a good Iowa team. They're average at best, and especially on the road, they're terrible. And so it's disappointing to see what happened and falling off such a cliff after Purdue. I do expect them to bounce back and play well against Michigan on Sunday because this is going to be drilled into their heads for several days. But there was a lot to play for today, and Indiana, I know it's not the case. These kids want to win. They want to play, hard, and it's never intentional. But it just felt like a lack of desire. That Iowa was hungry and Indiana was not. And that's disappointing. It's not the end of the world. The sky isn't falling, but it's disappointing, man. At this point in the season, to not be able to summon that is rough. And you gotta hope that these guys can put it together because, we've seen Indiana in the Big Ten tournament before. It's not kind to Indiana. Usually last year was an exception to the rule. And so if you can't summon it for Michigan and you walk into the Big Ten tournament and don't perform the way you're supposed to, you enter Selection Sunday. I mean, we're going to be in the tournament. They're going to be probably a decent seed, but you enter the tournament on a down note when you should be playing at your best and entering that tournament. And we've seen Indiana, when Indiana is on fire, can play with anyone. They got to find a way to summon that. They got to find a way to summon that consistently. And that has not been the case lately. They won 8 out of 9 at one point. Since then, it's kind of been a little up and down. They need to find a way to find that consistency.
From a bracketology standpoint, one game doesn't necessarily move you up or down, but Indiana is right there in competition with 4 teams in our Delphi bracketology for 3 spots on the 3 seed line. So a 22-point loss at home is going to mess with your metrics and may move a Gonzaga or a Tennessee if they beat an Arkansas tonight. When those events happen, it's not the loss that dropped you. It's the other teams moving up. So, you know, I would think that Indiana's more than likely now down to a 4 seed in most brackets. And now you're playing to hold on to that 4 seed with a game in Michigan. And you really want that 4 seed because you want to stay away from those 12s, which are the best non-major schools winning their conference. Your Oral Roberts, your teams like that, VCU, which teams can pop in a game. There's always a 12-5 matchup. But nonetheless, we're a 4 or a 5, which we haven't been for a long time. Don't remember that. Don't forget that. And please remember that it'll be a nice Selection Sunday no matter what. But now we're playing to hold on to something of value, and maybe that will, as well as finishing the best you can and getting a better seed in the Big Ten tournament. So Indiana has a lot to play for going forward, and we're going to have a lot of basketball left regardless of what happened tonight, so flush it. But that'll do it for us tonight. If you want to see us do the show live and be a part of the live chat, make sure you subscribe to our YouTube channel, youtube.com/assemblycall.com. And don't forget to join us at joinassemblycall.com for our free email newsletter. Special thanks to Bob Thompson for the music you hear and to John Ringer of Riggs Design for designing our logos. And thank you for listening. We'll be back on Thursday to talk some more IU hoops. And until then,
take it from me, Christian Wofford. Keep your elbows in and your eyes on the rim. Go Hoosiers.
All right, I got to get out of here, folks. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for coming out.
Coach Tonsoni is always right about basketball.
That'll do it.
That's a new one I hadn't heard yet. Oh, God. That was not fun. Whew. You're right, though, Coach. Flush it. I mean, man, it's...
You can't linger on it, just like you shouldn't have lingered on the win at Purdue, which they did. You can't linger on the loss and let Iowa beat you twice now.
I'm okay with you lingering. I'm okay with him lingering on it for a day.
Right. But then you got to get back to work and be process oriented. Do what you do. The process that got you here. That's what Tony was talking about. But that was
right. The disappointing part again, when they lose, it's not that they lose. It's how. And that's the disappointing part, because you're going to lose games. Nobody's doing the 76 Hoosiers thing. Nobody's going to go undefeated ever again. So you're going to lose games. You're prepared to lose games. This is a brick fight of a Big Ten this year with so many teams on the same level, and it's cannibalizing itself and all of that. But it's the way they showed up that was really, really disappointing tonight. To just come out with no juice and no energy when you got a chance to really hammer down on the rest of these games and get those last two, get to 13 wins. I mean, Purdue loses out, you know. I mean, you could be right there with them, but would you be a game behind if they lost out and you won out, or would they be even? I didn't look at the standings this morning. It's Purdue at 13 wins.
Yeah, I think so. I can pull it up here real quick.
They lose out, Indiana wins out, you can tie for the Big Ten title.
Right,
and
right.
You have that opportunity, and to come out like this that's disappointing, man. It really is, because you just hope that at this point of the season they would be more mature with their ability to sort of summon things. But it's also late in the season. Guys are tired, you know. I mean, there's all kinds of factors. And Iowa, frankly, Indiana doesn't have anybody to guard Chris Murray. I don't know if anybody in the Big Ten really has anyone to guard Chris Murray, that's a terrible matchup for Indiana. I think the rest of the team they can guard, but Chris Murray is a horrible matchup for this team.
Yeah, Indiana is now in a tie for fifth place in the Big Ten at with 8 losses with Iowa, which they've lost twice, so they're technically sixth in the Big Ten.
Yeah, Iowa holds a tiebreaker. Northwestern holds a tiebreaker. Maryland holds a tiebreaker.
And then Rutgers and Illinois are tied in the loss, and Michigan State are tied in the loss column at 8. Their results.
Depending on how that all works out.
Yeah, it could be ninth is the worst we can be, which would be exactly what we were last year.
Yeah. Yeah. So could go all the way to 9, you know.
Yeah, and so the best is what, 12-8? Again, that throws us into, depending on what Maryland does, Northwestern and Michigan. We beat Michigan. They are going to have 8 losses, and we own the tiebreaker on them. So there's still a lot of, 8 teams within one game.
And you were kind of clear of that mess, you know, last week. And Michigan
a little,
State
not really. You had that seven.
Yeah, you had a game. You had a game clear before the Michigan State game, I mean. Yeah. And you were kind of sitting right there. You lose the Michigan State game. Again, understandable to lose that game completely. But you lose this one, you're back in the thick of with everybody else.
If you would have won these two games, I think you're guaranteed a double bye.
A two.
Maybe the four. Two. Well, but it depends.
Oh, yeah. Four. You're right. Yeah,
four.
Yeah.
You were guaranteed four or better because the 18 losses couldn't catch you. And that's what you were playing for with these two things. Have that extra day off, especially the way, we play and run minutes, that extra day would have been really, really, really good. So, but now you're playing to get that. You still can get a bye. You beat Michigan and the other teams lose out. I don't know who Iowa finishes with. Does anyone know?
I don't know offhand. I had their schedule up earlier.
I did as well.
Andy would know.
Iowa finishes with Nebraska at home.
Oh, great. Great. Are they so we're tied with Iowa right now.
Yeah. So even if Maryland loses and Northwestern loses, we might be out of the double bye.
I think we are. I mean, I think
unless Iowa loses to Nebraska.
Yeah, I think Ania is going to have to prepare for playing the second night.
I guess Maryland can lose two and Northwestern can lose two. So I take that back. We're not out of that yet. We're going to just need a heck of a lot of help to get a double bye now.
Hey, Nebraska's won four straight. Don't sleep on the Huskers.
That is true. And maybe Iowa will just be living in, you know, a 20-point win and go home, and Fran will get four technicals.
I think he can only get two, Coach, but I'm not a coach. I don't know.
Bob Knight, he got three.
That's right, he did.
Like, he got kicked out after the second one and got a third, right?
Yeah. All right.
All right, gentlemen.
I'm going to shut this down and go do something else with my time for a little bit.
Enjoy your evening. Hey, we got out of here in a minute, hour four. So
I'm surprised it was that long. Good job, boys.
All right. Take care, everyone. We'll see you soon.
See you guys.